I'm Kate Remington. I'm talking with Paul Frucht. He's the artistic director and the founder of the Charles Ives Concert Series presented by the Danbury Music Center. And Paul, it's wonderful to have a chance to talk with you about this.
Sure. I'm really happy to be here speaking to you about it.
This is such an intense, really incredible music festival. You got four concerts spread over just really a few days, not even a full week. So first of all, let's back up a little bit and maybe tell us about how you got the idea to start the festival.
The concert series is an outgrowth of a program that started at the Danbury Music Center in 2015 called the Chamber Music Intensive. And that came out of conversations with the executive director of the Music Center at the time, who was someone named Mary LaRue. And she started in 2014, and upon her starting, we sat down and had a conversation about what kind of new summer programming might be interesting for the organization. What we came up with was a chamber music program that would bring in artists from conservatories, you know, recent graduates or graduate students, and have them come to Danbury for a week and work with local and aspiring musicians, both kids and adults. And what we decided was that while they were here, you know, we've got these extraordinarily talented musicians here, we should do some concerts. And those concerts proved to be a really big success. And one of the first concerts we did was the idea to do something called Charles Ives and His Living Legacy, which featured the music of today's American composers alongside a work by Ives. And I think for that very first concert that we did that, I think it was Ives' Fourth Violin Sonata. And of course, Charles Ives is a, you know, hometown hero to Danbury. And it continued like that for the first couple of years. Then after the second year, we thought, you know, we should really take this concert series and, you know, kind of codify it in a way that is a partner program with the Chamber Music Intensive and call it by, you know, its own name. And of course, it's still very much affiliated. Like I said, it's a partner program and both are programs at the Danbury Music Center. And we thought we should call this the Charles Ives Concert Series. And that is how it kind of came to be. It started as an outgrowth of the Chamber Music Intensive and then kind of took on a life and a purpose of its own, which is to celebrate Charles Ives through performances of his music, the music of today's American composers, and also music that kind of transcends what we consider to be traditional boundaries in classical music, which I think is a very Ivesian idea. And
well,
we can talk
sure.
about how
yeah.
Yeah, we can talk about how that's kind of manifested on the series.
Yeah, because I can see that the spirit of Ives is there in all four concerts. And what's so cool, I never tire of listening to Ives because there's always something new to hear.
Absolutely,
and
yeah.
Every time I listen, it strikes me of just how far ahead of his time he was with all of the extra musical sounds that he would incorporate and music from all different genres, spirituals and college fight songs and marching bands, and you know, all of that stuff is in there in his music. So it was like nothing was off limits for him.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. He's an incredibly polystylistic composer, which is, you know, really fascinating on its own, but as you said, he was well ahead of his time, and the ways he does it are so magnificent and interesting. And for us, tracing that line from his music down to the composers whose music we're featuring on the series, and then also kind of translating that compositional philosophy into a programmatic philosophy, has been a really interesting experience.
I'll bet, because you've got one concert in particular where there's going to be everything from traditional chamber music to a little bit of the Beatles. And so
yes.
Maybe tell us a little bit about that one.
Sure. So that concert has become kind of a tradition for us that we get really excited about every year. We collaborate with City Center Danbury, which is an organization dedicated to producing kind of community events on Main Street or around Main Street in Danbury. And they have this beautiful outdoor concert venue called the Downtown Green. And what we decide to do for that concert every year is take the kind of community-oriented aspect of IVE's music, which of course is really important for us because, you know, our organization, the Danbury Music Center, is a community music organization. And it's actually incredible. They have letters written to them from Harmony Twitchell, Ives's wife. The way we kind of translate that into something programmatic is every year during the Chamber Music Intensive, which runs concurrently with the Ives series in August, we invite the participants in the Chamber Music Intensive to perform alongside the artist faculty on this concert outdoors, which proves to be really fun because it's outdoors. Their families are sitting outdoors. You know, it's August. It's beautiful outside, provided it's not 100 degrees. And so they do things like traditional kind of string orchestra or chamber orchestra repertoire, like, you know, Vivaldi, Concerto for four violins, or this year we're doing the Bach double. And then for the second half, what we do is we feature two guest artists, Charles Yang, violinist, who's absolutely terrific and does some wonderful crossover stuff and is just a terrific violinist, you know, in his own right, aside from the unbelievably creative crossover material. And also Peter Dugan, who's an excellent pianist. He just released an album of World War I songs with this terrific singer, John Brancy. But he also is an extraordinarily creative crossover artist. He has this arrangement of a Britney Spears song, which sounds like Ravel. and so they have played together as a duo. Charles is in Time for Three now, but they still play together as a duo relatively frequently, and they do all kinds of crossover stuff, original music. Speaking of Ravel, they've also played Zigan together. And so they're the second half of that concert. And that's how we kind of address the pushing past traditional classical music boundaries in the philosophy of our series.
Well, and it's such a contemporary idea too, because I think it really fits in with how people listen to music these days. I mean, you look at anybody's Spotify playlist or what they've got on in Apple Music, and it's all over the place for the most part. And I mean, I know mine is super diverse, and I know many, many of the people that I've talked to, they don't just limit themselves to one kind of music that they listen to.
Absolutely. I really enjoy, you know, lots of different kinds of music.
Yeah.
And I think, like you said, you're right, most people do. And I think that's important to be reflected in this series for a number of reasons, but also because the DNA of his philosophy is written into our programmatic approach. So it should, you know, it should reflect lots of different kinds of music, because he incorporates lots of different kinds of music into his music.
Yeah. And you're also celebrating the 90th birthday of a really incredible and yet oddly under the radar American composer, Samuel Adler, who was around while Charles Ives was around too. This is his 90th birthday, and he's created this incredible legacy as well, Samuel Adler.
Yeah, Sam is someone who I have such incredibly great respect for, not only because his music is terrific and unbelievably skilled, but because of the example that he has set for multiple generations of American composers, his story of escaping Nazi Germany with his family and coming to the United States and then immediately turning around and serving in the army, and then, you know, sticking with music, being a composer, and then going back to Germany and starting a program there for young American composers to go to Berlin for 6 weeks every summer. If that doesn't combine the spirit of both, you know, an artist and also a great American citizen, I don't really know what else you could want.
Yeah.
And so to me, that's just such an extraordinary legacy and example that he's set, and also everything he's done for all of his students. And he was actually not my teacher at Juilliard. I studied with a wonderful composer named Robert Beezer, who was our composer in residence here.
Yeah,
2 years ago. But I did interact with Sam quite a bit. And every interaction was, you know, was really, really thought-provoking, just from anything from, you know, simple advice like, if, you know, if you don't love a note, don't write it. And so it's really great to celebrate his music and just who he is as part of this series.
Yeah, and that concert will be on August 9th at 7, and he'll be there. He'll be in attendance, right?
He will be there. He's coming, and he's going to work with some of our composition participants at the Chamber Music Intensive. And I'm hoping that he's also going to speak to the whole group, all of the participants in the intensive, which is about, I think this year it's 34 people. And I'm going to ask him to just speak about his life and his work and, you know, what it means to be an American musician. And then, yes, we're gonna interview him during intermission of that concert. So not to be missed.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. And a couple of his students, or music of a couple of his students, Christopher Theofanides and Gidi Razaz, will also be played on that concert too.
Yes. What we wanted to do for that concert, when John Ziner, the associate artistic director, and I sat down and started thinking, okay, we know we want to do something for Sam Adler's 90th birthday. You know, what's going to be meaningful and in the spirit of our series? And so we kind of did almost with Sam's kind of life what we've done with the series is, okay, how do you create a program that celebrates everything he is as a musician and a composer? And so we decided, obviously, we'll do his work. We're doing three works of his. Mm-hmm. And then we should do music of his students because he's such a renowned teacher. He has a book, The Study of Orchestration, which I think is maybe going on its fifth edition. And he's such a dedicated educator. And then we also decided, you know, Judaism is something that's really important to him. If you read his autobiography and you look at his body of works, that's clearly something that's, you know, part of who he is. And so two of our guest artists, Julian Schwartz and Marika Bernacki, are going to play some type of music. We actually haven't figured out just what yet, that celebrates that by Ernest Bloch.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. So, well, that just, I was going to ask you about this, because how far in advance are the programs set for the series? Are they kind of in flux until, like, the last minute, or have you got some things nailed down already?
No, everything's nailed down, and we've got our music out to all the artists. I can't tell you how great the relief is for me to be able to say that to you live on the air.
I bet it's good for them too, right?
I think yes. They're pleased. Yeah, we began our conversations about this in October of last year, and then kind of allowed ourselves to kind of ruminate and think and really craft something. And we had pretty much everything finalized in April. Mm-hmm. And then a couple of things got switched and changed around, as you might expect. But everything's been finalized for a little while now.
That's a relief.
Yes.
You know, we hear time and time again how old the classical music audience is getting. And yet, here you guys are. Everybody who's participating in this really incredible series is either, you know, really young, or at least has a really incredible young attitude. And so I would love to know how you've lined up all of the musicians who are playing.
Well, I'm unbelievably lucky in that all the musicians who are playing are people who I've had the fortune of getting to know either through school or through various programs or music festivals that I've done. For example, Charles Yang and Peter Dugan and Julian and I were all at a festival called Piano Sonoma in 2014, and that's where I met all those guys. And so when you go about doing something like this, especially something that you're creating and that is in the early stages, and I don't know if we're necessarily still in the early stages, but we're certainly not in the late stages. It's really, you know, well, who do I know that would be willing to, you know, come do something like this and have, you know, really no idea what it's going to be like? And the people you go to are your friends and closest colleagues. And given that this all started when I was in school, I had just completed the first year of my doctorate when the conversations about the chamber music started. That it was, you know, well, who do I know who would want to come do this? And it was other students who had, you know, who I'd been in class with or who had played my music on a, you know, composer's concert at Juilliard, or who I'd written pieces for their recitals or for my recital. And it was just, you know, another way of collaborating. And those relationships are really important. And they're really important to me. And they've continued. And this has been one way that they've continued. And that's kind of the explanation.
Oh, that's so cool. And speaking of collaborations, you're going to be collaborating with Hugo Kohler, who just received the good news that yes. He's going to be the music director of the Ridgefield Symphony Orchestra, which is fantastic. I had a great time talking with him. And that collaboration is the last concert on the series, right?
Yes. So. I'm really excited about that. Hugo and I met at the incoming graduate student reception in fall of 2011 at Juilliard and became friends pretty much immediately. So we've known each other for a little while now, and we've had a lot of great conversations about classical music and philosophy and politics and all that. And I was really, really thrilled to see that he was selected to be the music director of the RSO. And really, actually, right around the time that happened, I was actually also composer in residence for the Western Connecticut Youth Orchestra this past year, which is based in Ridgefield and it has connections for a number of reasons with the Ridgefield Symphony Orchestra. And so I was involved with them. And around that time, I began speaking to the executive director of the Ridgefield Symphony, Laurie Kanagi, about possibly doing a collaboration, given that they were going to have a new music director. A collaboration with the Ives Concert Series. And then it ended up being Hugo, and that was great.
Yeah.
And then I brought in, I looped into the conversation, the Danbury Music Center's new executive director, Barbara Adams-Yeager. I'm going to give her a major shout out for what a wonderful job she's done. But so I looped her in, and the three of us sat down and talked about logistically how's this going to work. And I started talking to Hugo about, okay, what kind of program would we want to do? And what we kind of came up with was, and John Zeiner, of course, was involved with this as well. What we came up with was a concert called New Sincerity from Darkness to Light.
It's such an interesting idea because there are so many pieces that actually make that transition in their span of the performance, like Beethoven's Fifth, and there's Tchaikovsky's symphonies that do the same thing. And so it's such a really, really cool way to thematically organize a concert.
Well, yeah, and it's interesting you bring that up, those specific pieces. I think when both musicians and people who are classical music listeners or classical music lovers who maybe don't play, but they really love coming to concerts. And you ask people, why do they come to concerts? Why do they love classical music? And I think it's a feeling of transformation. And that's what those pieces do that you mentioned. And if you asked me to pick a 19th century composer to, you know, listen to the rest of the day, Tchaikovsky would probably be pretty high on the list. Mm-hmm. I think for that reason. And I'm not saying that's the only thing that people look for, but I think it's certainly one thing. People come to a concert, they want to feel kind of transformed or moved, and I think that's something people are really seeking today. And so I think one other thing that goes along with that is when people think of contemporary music, contemporary classical music, they don't associate that feeling of emotional or kind of philosophical transformation with contemporary music. And that is, I don't know, well, I have a couple of theories as to why that is, but more importantly, I think there is a trend today of composers, particularly in America, who are writing music and using contemporary materials, using anything from, quotations to non-classical music materials, to create that sense of emotional mm-hmm. transformation. And the term new sincerity was something I came across in my dissertation research, and it's actually a literary term coined by David Foster Wallace, who kind of identified a new sincerity in literature. And I kind of think the same thing is happening in music. And that's not to say that that's the only thing people are doing and the only kind of music that's being written. There's lots of music being written, and I don't think that's the only music that should be written. Mm-hmm. And it's certainly not the only music that's sincere.
Right.
But I think it is something that's happening. And I think one thing about Ives' music that is so great is that a lot of times it does give you a sense of transformation in a very, very different way than Tchaikovsky does. And it's those composers and those kinds of pieces that we're looking to highlight on this concert.
Yeah, it sounds like it's just going to be incredible. And how can people get tickets?
People can get tickets at the Danbury Music Center website at www.danburymusiccenter.org. And if they click the Charles Ives Concert Series tab and scroll to whichever concert they want to go to and click buy tickets.
Oh, that's awesome. Wow. Well, Paul, thanks so much for spending some time and telling us about it, giving us a preview. I really appreciate you making the trip up here.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's been great speaking with you.